Welcome to the Capgemini America's Corporate Social Responsibility Podcast. My name is Janet Pope, and I'm the Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility for the U.S., Canada, and Latin America. I look forward to engaging with each of you on diversity, digital inclusion, and sustainability challenges and initiatives. Let's get the future we want together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Capgemini Women in Digital podcast. This podcast is led by the women at Capgemini Employee Resource Group, whose mission is to cultivate and sustain a culture where women can thrive at Capgemini. The Women in Digital podcast is an informative, enlightening, entertaining, and open forum intended to challenge the norm and embrace women as leaders. It offers a chance to connect with our audience, build valuable connections, and explore meaningful topics that affect women. I'm Christine Stack. I'm the head of human resources for cloud infrastructure systems in North America. And today, I'm thrilled to be speaking with one of Capgemini's own, Arifa Saitha. She's a consultant in Chicago. She's been here for 2 years. She has her SAP certification and is working currently in the life sciences space. She works with SAP and software in the project management area. She's also the national lead for the Mentoring Matters ERG, and she's a multiple award winner. She's won the Rising Star Award, the Rookie Performance Driver Award, and the Pinnacle Award. Since International Women's Month and the month of Ramadan overlap this year, we thought it a perfect opportunity to highlight this intersectionality and have Arifa share her experiences as a Muslim working woman, especially during this incredible time of year. Muslim women can often feel excluded from their circles due to the general population's lack of knowledge about Ramadan, coupled with the negative stereotypes about Muslim women. We intend for this conversation to be educational, positive, and relevant as Ramadan impacts so many of our employees and clients. Arifa, thank you for spending time with us today. Happy International Women's Month and happy Ramadan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Christine. Happy International Women's Month and Ramadan Mubarak to you too.
Thank you so much. I know we have so much to celebrate, although I like to think of it more as a year versus a month, I'm sure. But it's great to be recognized nonetheless.
Yeah, especially having time to dedicate to celebrating our accomplishments.
I agree. So let's start with the first question right out the bat. Maybe a lot of people don't know what International Women's Month is. So would you mind enlightening us?
Of course. I love Women's Month, because we take time to celebrate ourselves, our accomplishment, our women employees, our colleagues, at least especially in Capgemini. I know you and I are both part of the Women at Capgemini ERG, and it's just a month full of events and conversations and really taking the time to celebrate each other.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's really nice to have that spotlight. I mean, listen, I know we have our diversity and inclusion policies. I know that so much work goes into so many aspects, every facet of what we do, but It really is this time of year, I think, helps hold all of us accountable for just thinking differently and thinking more broadly and Introducing diversity and embracing diversity in our workforce. I mean, this should be a no-brainer at this stage, but let's face it, it's really not. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Speak Freely series and all of the great events that, you know, so many of us contribute to and participate in this month.
Me too. I'm loving the lineup of events our ERGs have planned for us. It's a lot of celebrating our wins, focusing on reflection of the progress we've made. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of reflection and learning new things, I would love to learn about Ramadan. So tell our audience, what is Ramadan?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Ramadan is a month. It's the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, and it is considered a holy month for all Muslims around the world. And there are about 1.8 billion Muslims around the world. So It's a big factor. In Ramadan, it is one of the five pillars of Islam to fast from dawn to sunset every day in Ramadan for 30 days for the sake of achieving piety.
Amazing. That sounds like an incredible time of reflection.
Yeah. I mean, what is the purpose of fasting? We know that it is prevalent throughout many faiths, but why do Muslims fast? And I think for a long time, I was confusing the reason behind fasting with the benefits of fasting, because people are so quick to talk about the benefits, the fact that you gain mental clarity, or that it's, you know, a physical detox, all these things that people even say, you know, it's a good practice of feeling what the less fortunate can feel so that you are more generous in your charity. And all of those are valid and true. But at the end of the day, the reason why we fast is as a form of worship, because this is such a holy month. And that means that our worship increases as well. And, you know, it is a big ask, if you think of it, to go about your normal daily life. And then on top of that, you are fasting from food and water from dawn to sunset. It is, you know, a lot. It's a whole lifestyle, yeah. Genuinely. Like for that month, sometimes I turn nocturnal because I'm like, well, I can eat at night. So let me stay up and eat at night. But yeah, so obviously if you are ill, traveling, elderly, pregnant, menstruating, breastfeeding, then you are excused from fasting. Okay. But for those who are able to, it is such an interesting experience. Multifaceted for sure.
Well, it sounds, I mean, there's so many words that are coming to my mind right now, and just that level of humility, of being so incredibly humble, and honestly being so respectful and grateful, right? And so, you know, we can think of fasting as, oh, the trials and the tribulations of fasting, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, in the next few questions, right? It's not an easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. But when you think about, you know, the faith and the belief and the respect, it really truly is inspiring, and so regardless of whether or not your stomach is rumbling, an incredibly peaceful time when you put it all together.
Definitely. I think what stands out from your reflection of that is dedication and discipline. I think those are huge aspects of Ramadan. I mean, genuinely, I view this as like a little faith training boot camp where, you know, it's like an intensive month where you are practicing what you preach. You are actively training your self-discipline. You are voluntarily fasting from food and water, which are two things that you kind of need to survive, you know? And and fasting is so prevalent throughout many faiths. I know that there's the 40 days of Lent, there's Yom Kippur. I know fasting is present in Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism. And so it is seen as a widely known form of worship. And this is just how Muslims incorporate it into our religion.
Yeah. And what does Ramadan look like for you as a working woman in North America? Because we talked about being, you know, nocturnal, and, you know, we sure don't want you working overnight just because that's when you're eating. But what does it look like for you as a working woman here in North America?
Yeah, great question. So your typical Ramadan day, it starts at about 4 or 5 a.m., depending on where you live, so what time the sun rises for you. And you eat breakfast, otherwise known as suhoor or sari, where you force yourself to down some eggs or some oats or something. And then when the sun rises, you are fasting from food and water all day while the sun is up. And not just fasting from food and drink, but also fasting from anything that you would typically not do in a holy month. No lying, swearing, cheating, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then at sunset, we have dinner, aka iftar, where we break our fast. We typically break our fast with dates and then, you know, have a whole little meal. It is recommended to not stuff your face when you're eating, because one, you'll get a stomach ache. Two, you know, it's one of our teachings to fill your stomach with 1/3 food, 1/3 water, and 1/3 air. But nonetheless, you eat your food, and while the sun is down, you are free to eat and drink all the way up until dawn, where the cycle starts again.
Mm-hmm.
So for me as a working woman, obviously my sleep schedule looks different. My eating schedule looks different. I'm getting less rest. I'm getting less energy throughout this month. And so adjustments need to be made for making sure that you're still taking care of yourself and your deadlines during this time.
Sure.
And honestly, my schedule depends on what my project work looks like. Actually, last Ramadan, I was working with a client that had a lot of offshore employees. Mm-hmm. And so it worked out that I just started to log on a little bit earlier. If suhoor was at 4 a.m., then I would log on at 5 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. And then I got to log off a few hours early because I got all my work done. It was actually more productive because I got more time with my offshore team. And so that was nice. But now I'm working with a client where I have a 4 p.m. meeting every day, so I can't be logging off early. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to adjust my schedule yet, but I'm excited to see how it will turn out. Maybe I will still log on right after breakfast since I'll already be up, but then I'll take a longer lunch break. And, you know, by lunch break, I mean nap break, since I will not be eating lunch. But yeah, we'll see. And again, this is just my experience. I really encourage you to engage in conversations with your Muslim friends and mm-hmm. Muslim colleagues. Every Ramadan experience looks different. Everyone has their own preferences of how they work and what's best for them and how to avoid getting hangry at your colleagues.
I was going to ask about that too, but thank you.
Yeah.
You'll have to give me some tips on that one.
I'm still learning. I still don't know exactly how to beat the hanger, but you're still obviously meeting your KPIs. You're meeting your deadlines. You're doing everything. And, you know, Ramadan really does uproot your whole routine. And it is something that it's meant to be disruptive almost.
Sure.
It tests you, it tests your patience, and sometimes clients are difficult. And I think that's so beautiful that we are given this opportunity to practice patience in a very real setting. I never thought that I would have the strength I did until I'm doing it, until I'm on my 14th hour of no food and water and I'm in a meeting and I'm still, you know, doing as I need to do and still doing it all while fasting.
And you know what's interesting about that? You had mentioned two words earlier that were in relation to fasting in particular. I think they were dedication and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hearing, though, is those two translate quite remarkably into work as well. So mm-hmm. as a working woman in North America, you know, yes, you have dedication and discipline as a result of your faith, but you also have dedication and discipline in relation to your work and to what you contribute to Capgemini. And, you know, and I'll put a little plug in here for flexible working. I am very grateful and thankful that we live in an environment now mm-hmm. and in an organization that embraces that, in a society for the most part that embraces that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think without that, you know, that dedication and discipline, I would think it would kind of be thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah. And I think that also speaks to the woman experience in general as well. I know that there are a lot of struggles or experiences very specific to women. And in the same way of how I'm saying, you know, I'm doing all my work while fasting, which is showing a strength that I didn't know I had. I think that also shows, you know, there's so many women who are saying, you know, I'm doing my work while having all of these other expectations and responsibilities that I have to also incorporate. And yet I'm still working and winning awards along the way.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. And actually doing something else along the way. So you shared with me that you recently started wearing hijab. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for asking. I feel like this is a great question that ties back to International Women's Month, because there are so many hijab wearing women in the world. And there's also a lot of people who don't know about hijab. And this is an area where learning and educating yourself can really come in handy when you are collaborating with women who wear hijab.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know, a hijab is a headscarf that some Muslim women wear. And there's many reasons behind hijab. I would say first and foremost is like it is for all the other aspects of Islam, like praying and fasting. Hijab is a form of worship. And I started wearing the hijab pretty recently, a few months ago. And honestly, I think my biggest fear before putting it on was the possible interactions I would have with miseducated people. Yeah. Because unfortunately, Islamophobia permeates our Western society. And I think there are some harmful stereotypes in the media about my religion, which is difficult, honestly. And it affects every person, but specifically Muslim women wearing hijab who are visibly Muslim. Right. And so in some scenarios, I've had to fight the idea that I am somehow this quiet or silenced person when, you know, if that was the case, why am I on this podcast right now? Why would I be taking every opportunity I can to use my voice and to speak my words and represent a culture and a religion as best I can?
Exactly.
But yeah, there are stereotypes to unlearn and questions to ask yourself and really dig deep. And I've attended a couple Capgemini inclusion circles within the office and virtually who have tackled this exact question of unlearning biases and re-educating yourself on certain things that you may have been misinformed on. And I really invite you to listen to hijabi women's experiences, hear our voices, and know that, you know, when you see me in a meeting with a client, I am there as a hijab wearing Muslim woman, and I'm right there with you. You know, I'm talking strategy, I'm talking software, I'm keeping up, you're keeping up, and ultimately we are achieving a common goal here hand in hand. Maybe, you know, more metaphorically hand in hand than physically, since some hijabi women prefer not to shake hands as a form of modesty. And so it's been a pleasant surprise so far. I remember I was a little nervous when I first came into the office wearing it, but all of my colleagues were so sweet. They were complimenting my hijab colors. They were asking questions about what it means to me. And I love hijab. And I love the sisterhood. I love the hijabi sisterhood. It is a great community. Shout out.
I'm just so happy to hear that. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I really, really am. Well, good. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that with us. I want to go back to Ramadan really quickly. What are your favorite Ramadan traditions?
Yeah, there are so many things that happen specifically within Ramadan. Obviously, it's a very unique time, so that makes sense. One of them is this prayer that only happens in Ramadan. It's called Tarawih. And just for some context, you know, prayer is also one of the pillars of Islam. It's a very important daily, multi-daily aspect. And there's the morning prayer that's 2 rakats, the afternoon prayer, 4 rakats, evening prayer, 3 rakats. And when I say rakats, I mean like, how do I say this? Like a lap of a prayer. Like, okay. I don't know if you've seen a Muslim pray, but it's like, you know, you start standing and then you prostrate. And then when you stand back up, that's like 1 rakat or lap. Yeah. And so in the day, there's like 2, 3, and 4 rakats. The Tarawih prayer is 20 rakats. And it is so long. It's like an hour every night. And it happens every night of Ramadan. And it's just this beautiful, like, gathering at the mosque where all of a sudden we're there, you know, after we've had dinner, after we've clocked off from work, and we're all just like spending an hour listening to recitation and praying. And I really enjoy that time.
Yes. And not to sound ignorant, but it probably helps that your belly is full at that point in time.
Yeah.
At least it's good that you get to eat before it.
Yeah, there's all the snacks at the mosque too. They have the chai and the scones. So it's nice.
Amazing. Amazing. Any fun facts about Ramadan?
Yes. So the Islamic calendar does not line up perfectly with the Gregorian calendar. So, you know, January, February, March, that's 365 days. And the Hijri calendar is about 355 days. So the month of Ramadan shifts up about 10 days every year, which means, you know, right now Ramadan starts March 10th, but next year it'll probably start March 1st. And then the year after that, you know, February 18th. So it's really cool to be able to experience this holy month throughout every single season, in the winter, in the summer, in the spring, in the fall.
That is such a cool fact. I love that, actually. And that that is an amazing experience. Thank you so much. I had no idea. Thank you. You know, you had mentioned when you started wearing your hijab that you were really pleased to come into the office and to have people embrace, you know, who you are and the choices that you've made. What do you wish your colleagues knew about your fasting experience? Because I'm sure they'll embrace it, but what would you like them to know?
Yeah, good question. I think honestly, knowing in the first place is all I can ask. Like, just seeking knowledge about what Ramadan is and the significance behind it means a lot to me and a lot of your Muslim friends. It's also funny because one thing about my faith is that we're taught to not really complain about our fasting. It's like, it's a form of worship and it's something that we want to do voluntarily. For example, if you volunteer to wash your friend's car, but then the whole time you're just complaining about how hot it is and, you know, how much your arms hurt and how dirty the car is and stuff like that, then it's like, okay, well, it kind of takes the sweetness away from this act. So in the same way, I don't think a lot of Muslims will necessarily ask or advocate for themselves in the workplace because we make do, you know, like we do our personal obligation and we still deliver in our professional atmosphere. I think what you can do if you want is to think, okay, well, is there anything I can do to make this easier? Even if no one's asking me, you know, if we have a 4-day in-person office mandate right now, do I need Arafa to show up for every 4 of those days, you know, or do I need to schedule this meeting at the very end of the day? Maybe I could do it in the middle when she has a bit more energy from her breakfast still, you know, like that kind of thing where you can feel free to make those accommodations. And I'm sure they would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Listen, colleagues and leaders play such a large part in making sure that your dedication, your drive, your discipline, whether it be towards Ramadan or whether it be towards work, is the best that it can be. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, leaders understanding that and just being highly self-aware, highly in tune, you know, tapping into that idea and approach of servant leadership, it seems like it will make all the difference to getting the best out of you while also respecting you as an individual and as a Muslim woman.
Definitely. I could not have said that better.
We were talking about the timing of Ramadan this year, obviously in March with International Women's Month. What is the intersection of International Women's Month and Ramadan mean to you?
I mean, I love being a woman and I love being a Muslim. And I think the intersection of these 2 months is a personal intersection for me as well, because both months are about reflection and celebration. And in the name, there's international, you know, and when we say we're celebrating International Women's Month, we're celebrating women all over the world and what that diverse experience is like. We're talking about every single woman's experience, and every woman's experience is valid and is womanly. And so this just feels like such a perfect opportunity to highlight the two in a way that brings knowledge and education as well as celebration.
Yeah. That could not be more perfectly said, because as I think on how you've reflected, how you've educated us, I truly can't thank you enough, Arafa. These insights only make us all stronger. They make us more knowledgeable, more aware. And, you know, the intention here is, yes, to educate, but through this education and through this knowledge sharing, help us all to be more empathetic and more understanding and more inclusive in everything that we do. Because if we can't do that, we're sure as heck not one Capgemini, and we're sure as heck not going to get as much done and with as much passion and dedication as we would otherwise. So thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Christine. It has been so lovely talking to you. And I'm just so appreciative of the space you've given me here and for Capgemini for prioritizing these different experiences. You know, they say that your feminism is not feminism until it's intersectional. And I think the Muslim woman experience is something that is definitely important to learn about. So thank you so much for your questions and for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. And to all of you out there, thank you for your time as well. We're going to be back with new guests and compelling conversations over the next months. If there are topics or speakers that are meaningful to you, just as this topic is clearly so meaningful to Arafa, just let us know. We value your feedback as well as your support. Please keep listening, keep engaging, and keep getting the future you want.
Looks like we've come to the end of another America's Corporate Social Responsibility Podcast. Again, I'm Janet Pope, and on behalf of the entire America's Corporate Social Responsibility team, I'd like to thank you for listening. If you have a topic that you'd like for us to cover related to diversity, digital inclusion, or sustainability, please comment in the podcast channel. We'd love to hear from you.